Did you bring your Bible this morning? You might have heard some things we started teaching back in Cedar Rapids. I think it was last Sunday. Kind of runs all together now. But we've had some snowstorms, and so it's kind of, we skipped some services. A couple of Wednesday nights in a row, I believe, if I remember right, two Wednesday nights in service. But we're teaching some lately on the home and the family. And we had probably, I think, one or two services on that, and we've been wanting to get into that more because the Lord put it on my heart last fall that it was needed, and it was almost like a conviction that I needed to do this. So we're going to do it here this morning. If you're ready and you're hungry for it, say amen. Just think about it. You could come out of this service with a new and improved spouse. Yeah, praise the Lord. And another little line under that, you could be a new and improved spouse.
Amen.
That's it, right? We're always wanting to grow. We've not arrived. We're learning. We're growing. If you're like me, you're doing better than you used to, but there's still more room for growth. So we're always interested in that. We're not going to be able to get to all that I have on my heart this morning. I was counting, right before I went to bed last night, I counted, I got 47 pages of notes and very little time to share them. So we're just going to follow some of the highlights of some of the things the Lord's put in my heart. Go with me to the book of Joshua, the first chapter. Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 8. There is a huge attack against the family in our culture. Huge attack against the family. It's one of Satan's to be honest, it's one of the things he wants to destroy, because the family is the foundational institution of society. God established marriage and even the family in Genesis chapter number 2, long before human government was established, long before the church came on the scene. This was the first institution God established in among mankind. And the Spirit of God, I believe, is grieved by so much hardship that is happening in families. It's very difficult in America today, even with Christian families. It's very difficult to find a Christian family that is not experiencing some sort of, you know, whatever, divide or division or hardship or struggle in a relationship or something like that. I believe it's due to a lack of just some basic Bible understanding of marriage and the family. And so we're going to spend a little time on this. You know, you might say, well, this isn't something I need. Well, you'll probably need it at some point. Number two, you'll probably come into contact with somebody who needs it. Because there's some basic scriptural things that if we get a hold of these basic scriptural things, that we can learn to live right according to the scriptures, that can really make family, rather than a place of pain, it can be a place of great joy. The home and the family ought to be a place of great joy. Great in celebration, great times of being together. It shouldn't be that you kind of tolerate or sort of abhor Thanksgiving and Christmas because, you know, that's when you get around all those strange family people.
Right.
It shouldn't be that way.
It should not. That's right.
And it doesn't have to be that way. Now, it takes more than one person to make that work, though, right? And we understand that. Not everybody's necessarily interested in walking in the light of the Word. But yet, on the other hand, let's do our part. Amen. So there's some things I want to start out with here in Joshua 1:8. I'm going to read this in the Amplified Classic version. Amen. If you can't tell from some of the ways I use it, it's probably my favorite version. We've been doing some actually interesting work. I can't get into it because of confidentiality, but some interesting work to work on this coming out, the Amplified Classic coming out in the Spanish version. Yeah, we actually are working with the people
that
I can't tell a whole lot of details, but it's in the works.
Praise
Hallelujah, God. Because of some things we have in our heart for that Spanish-speaking world. But it's our favorite translation. But Joshua 1:8 in the Amplified Classic, it says, this book of the law, now we're in the New Testament, we're not living under the law, so just run this through the cross and say the Word of God, right? We could do that and put it under the New Testament. This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make your way prosperous, and you shall deal, this is the Amplified Classic, shall deal wisely and have good success. Deal. I like the Amplified adding that, deal wisely and have good success. I've done some study on the words prosperous and good and success that come out of the King James. And really, this is a good translation, deal wisely.
Deal wisely.
He's not just talking about, you know, being foolish, yeah, making foolish decisions, and then God just blessing us in spite of our foolishness.
Yeah.
There is divine wisdom in the Word of God to make everything we put our hand to a success.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Now that it takes renewing our mind to that wisdom. It takes us, what he said here, meditating on the Word of God and then practicing it in our lives in order for us to be able to deal wisely. So what he's saying is the Word of God is his wisdom.
Yes, it is.
It's where we're going to get the ability to have good success by walking in the wisdom of the Word of God. Now, you can apply that to finances, and often this verse is used in the context of finances, but he didn't limit it to finances here. He's talking about raising children, succeeding in marriage. He's talking about, you know, everything you put your hand to. All you do, every area of your life. There's a, God has good success for us.
Yes, he does.
He didn't, we're not born again so we can fail.
All right. That's so
in
good.
Anything.
Right. That's so good.
Nothing. And we should be interested in succeeding in our homes. I mean, if we're going to do this, let's do this right.
That's right.
Let's find out how to really, really thrive at it and have good success. I looked up the definition of wisdom, because it brings up wisdom here. You'll deal wisely. The definition of wisdom, and it's all through the Bible, the word wisdom. In the Vines, the W.E. Vines Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, it says wisdom is being skillful, particularly in the art of living well. Boy, do I like that. The art of living well, such as was in the heart of Solomon. It means to be skillful, sharp, cunning in practical matters. And so this, the ability to succeed or the ability to live well comes through making right decisions.
Amen.
Now you remember Solomon had a dream. We have record of it there in the Bible. He had a dream. God came to him and said, ask whatever you will and I'll give it to you. And he said, give your servant, the King James says, a wise and an understanding heart, that I may discern good and evil, if I remember right, exactly how it says it, and be able to make, really, if you analyze the language, be able to make right decisions and make and judge your people. See, he's the leader of a whole nation. He said, I want to be able to make right decisions and give me an understanding heart. You look it up in the Hebrew, it actually means a hearing heart. In other words, he wanted to hear from God on what to do about each decision. You know what that is?
Yeah.
When you hear from God on what to do about each decision, that's his wisdom. When you are walking in, or I am walking in God's wisdom, we are making decisions based on insight given by God, and it is God's thinking given to man. It is called in the New Testament the mind of Christ. It's his thinking. Because there's one thing, one of the greatest needs for all of us as believers after being born again is to renew our minds.
Yes.
Learn to take on his thoughts. Because when we got born again, our mind didn't get renewed.
True. That's so true.
Our mind didn't get renewed. It was the inward man. We became a new creation in our spirits. Old things passed away in our spirits. But yet, right on the other hand, our mind, we still have the same thinking we had when we got born again. And so what he's talking about in Joshua 1:8 and in many other verses is renewing our mind, meditating in the scriptures, taking his thoughts and replacing our thoughts with his way of thinking about everything. This is called being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And when that happens, we start acting in line with the way God thinks, right, because we've exchanged our thoughts for his thoughts.
Yeah.
And that's the key to success.
Amen.
That's the key to prosperity.
Yes.
That's right.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so the definition of wisdom is being skillful, particularly in the art of living well. I like that. It's the ability to make right decisions due to the insight given by God. It is God's thinking given to man. It is called in the New Testament the mind of Christ. And particularly wisdom is the proper application of those insights from God. Now, we're going to be talking about marriage this morning, but I had it in my heart to start right here about this issue of marriage. It's the ability to make right decisions at the opportune time, Vines goes on to say.
Yes.
At the opportune time. In other words, in this critical time right here, in this decision right here,
yep,
what would be the right decision?
Yes.
Do you know in life, in so many areas of life, it's not people that work the hardest that get ahead the most?
No.
It's people that work the smartest.
Yes. Work smart.
A lot of folks, like let's take finances for example. A lot of folks work hard. But get ahead, they don't get ahead much.
Right.
Because they're not smart.
Right.
They don't use wisdom. Maybe take for example when it comes to finances, they just spend it all.
Rather
than put it to work for them.
Yes.
In investments or something like that.
Yes.
All they do is spend it on liabilities rather than assets.
Yeah. Yes, come on.
And so they spend everything they get.
Uh-huh.
And nothing of what they've earned is working for them.
Right.
A little bit of practical advice as we go along, right?
Yes, sir.
And boy, could we ever get in on that. And the Bible talks about he gives you power to get wealth. The word get means to produce.
Yes.
If you use the wisdom of God, you'll change from just being a consumer to a producer.
Amen.
In other words, you're producing, number one, for the kingdom of God. But number two, you're producing whatever you have gotten. You're not just consuming it.
Yep.
You're using it to produce more.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I remember back in the early 90s, I had the chance to buy a particular stock at a particular time in my life. I had a chance to buy a particular stock and I passed it up. And today, if I had to put $1,000 in that today, I would be worth between $3 and $4 million. Just owning that stock.
Yep.
Woo, Jesus.
Yep.
See, you're looking at me and not saying anything because you might have done some of the same things. But see, God wants us to become producers. Anyway, that's all free. Won't charge you for that. But what about this area of marriage? What about the art of living well in marriage?
Yes.
By the way, what is living well called in the New Testament? It's called the abundant life.
The abundant life.
Yeah, the good life, the abundant life. And it's more than just finances. It's more than just having peace in your heart. It's more than just the joy of the Lord. It is all that. It's more than the worry-free life. It is all that. But it's abundant life in your marriage, in your home. I mean, your soul, your emotions, abundant life in your finances, in your health, in every area of life. God wants you to live well.
Amen.
I like that statement.
Amen.
Live well. Live well. You look at some people's lives and you just have to say, they just don't know the art of living. They're really good at destroying everything they touch. They're really good at destroying relationships. You know, they're really good at destroying their own thought life. They're really good at destroying their body with cigarettes or whatever. They're really good at everything they touch. They just don't know how to live well.
Yeah.
They're not good at anything they do. They're not good at finances. They're not good at anything.
Right.
I want the art and the skill of living well.
Yes.
Living well. Everything I do, it thrives. Everything I put my hand to thrives. So that's available to us, but it comes through the right relationship with the Word. Does that make any sense? And so wisdom could be called divine insight, divinely granted understanding into the things of God that enable one to make right decisions. And the result is succeeding in the art of living well. It's the application, the proper application of knowledge. You can have knowledge and not do anything with it.
That's right. That's so
right?
True.
I had knowledge of that opportunity to buy that stock. I didn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
Well, that might have been knowledge, but it wasn't wisdom. Right? How many of you know God can't bless stupid?
Come on now.
Amen. Foolishness hinders God. Glory to God. Say amen if you can. You can't just believe God for health and then abuse your body with all sorts of stuff that you put into it.
You're telling it. That's true.
Right? And I'm not preaching diet this morning, but we can just use some common sense. There's certain things that the body wasn't made to handle.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? They're not even organic. They're anyway, I won't get into all that, but just wisdom. Tell your neighbor, good wisdom will help you in every area. Our future is not thrust upon us in any area of life. It's not thrust upon us without our consent. We choose our future every day by what we choose to do with the Word of God and with the wisdom of God. Not, our future is not set in stone. It's determined by the choices we make. And so, you know, God's plan for us is to have the kind of fellowship with Him in the Word and in prayer to where we're going daily to His presence, and that we make Him our source and get His wisdom daily for the decisions of life, and be able to thrive because we've mastered the art of hearing from God,
yes,
putting it into practice, being a doer of it, and then as a result, living well.
Amen.
I said living well.
Amen.
So this is very interesting. The Holy Spirit will make, if you'll apply this right, the Holy Spirit will make the Word and your prayer life His school of the Spirit. And He'll school you in all areas of life. Like just last night, I was preparing some things. I was studying some things. And while I was just, because I was in that place of fellowship with Him, quiet and so forth, while I was there fellowshipping in quiet, out of the blue, I wasn't even studying on it, but an area of decision I needed to make in life, all of a sudden, there came the answer. Bloop, just came right up out of my spirit. So I got my iPad and wrote it down over there, and because I didn't want to, you know, get my mind off on that right then because of what I was studying. But right on the other hand, I got an answer. That's His wisdom.
Amen.
Glory
Amen.
To God.
Glory
and
to
if
God.
You walk in the light of what the Spirit of God is witnessing with you to do and the light of the Word, you'll thrive in life, and you'll look like a genius.
So true.
I didn't say you were. I said you look like one. Now, I'm not putting you down saying you're not a genius, but some of us, I'm including myself, I didn't have the art of living well in some areas, but the Word of God renewing my thinking and me applying it has caused my life to thrive in an area that I wasn't really that smart in. For example, not as an example, but another scripture along this line, Matthew 7 talks about, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I liken him unto a wise man. Notice, it didn't say he is a wise man. He said, I liken him to a wise man.
Yeah.
You know what somebody who doesn't know how to do a certain thing, do you know it's smart for them, even though they don't know how to do it, is to listen to somebody who does and then do what they say?
All right now.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Yes.
Right?
Very simple.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is applying, Matthew 7 is applying that principle to what Jesus says, His word. Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll liken him to a wise man. You might not be a wise person, but if you listen to a wise man and do what he says, now you're smart.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Amen.
Man,
see, I'm over here because she's amening me, so that's why I'm going to stay over here. So you can become smart in every area that you don't think you are that smart. The Holy Spirit in you will, through taking you into the Word, renewing your mind with the Word, He'll make you brilliant in decision making. I have learned I'm not perfect at it. You realize the pastor's not perfect? I thought I was, and then I made a mistake, so I found out I wasn't. But I'm not perfect, but I have learned to follow the Spirit on a lot of things. Follow the Word of God, renew my mind with the Word, and learn to follow the Spirit. And there were people in my high school that far surpassed me as far as their grades and everything.
Come on.
And I thank God for that. I'm not saying, or anything. But my point is, but as I've discovered where they are today in life, I'm way beyond them. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on the Word. You understand? This isn't Pastor Jay. It's the one Pastor Jay's been listening to.
All right now.
I'm way beyond them in a lot of areas.
Amen.
Victory in areas that they are not walking in. Not because their good grades didn't help them in life.
Yeah, yeah, come on.
You can know all about certain things and be foolish and make foolish mistakes.
Yes.
And really, the people that don't have the big education you have, they'll pass you up.
Yes, they could. Yeah, absolutely.
Amen.
Amen.
I've met some very smart, stupid people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean by that? They just, I mean, they have a big education, but they are foolish when it comes to marriage, raising children, spending money, just a lot of foolishness.
Seriously.
And other people pass them up. Anyway, that's all free. Won't charge you a dime for that. Do yourself a favor. Anybody want to do yourself a favor this morning? Believe that you can make better decisions.
Amen.
Believe that you can make better decisions. Not just out of your intellect, but out of the wisdom of God.
Yes.
The wisdom of God. I'm not saying you've made bad decisions when I say that. But even though we've probably all made some good, some bad decisions, we can get better at making the right decision every single time.
Every time.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And you can improve in the art of living well. I'm interested in that. Anybody want to sign up for that? And so in marriage, for example, we'll bring this now to marriage. Let's think about some of this. In marriage, if you walk in the wisdom of God, I say sometimes your relationship won't go from the engagement ring to the wedding ring to the suffer ring. You get what I'm saying? See, you know what I'm talking about? Some relationships go that way. They go from the engagement ring to the wedding ring to the suffer ring.
Yeah.
In other words, it's just a struggle.
Yeah.
It's not enjoyable.
Come on.
I mean, people aren't walking in the God kind of love. They're walking in selfishness, and they're not doing the Word themselves. They're pointing out to their spouse what they're not doing.
I know, right? Uh-oh. Go ahead.
Praise the Lord. So there are things that we can do to be better at marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe you've never been good at relationships because you don't really very often think before you speak.
Uh-oh, look out.
Any husbands in here ever got in trouble because you spoke too fast?
Well.
You have a Mach 2 mouth and a 20-mile-an-hour brain, you know. And your mouth is way out there before your brain has time to say, oh, hold up. Cause yourself 3 weeks of trouble.
Yeah.
We're laughing because we know what we're talking about. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Look at that. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Study it. In other words, it thinks before it speaks.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
James says, be quick to hear and slow
to speak.
So maybe that's an area that you have, you know, not mastered well, and you keep ruining your day, ruining your relationship or whatever.
Come on.
Praise God. Praise God. How many of you know if that's been you, you can move out of that, you know, you can make that area you've been occupying, that place you've been living, a ghost town,
yes,
man.
Yeah.
I'm not living there anymore.
Nope.
Yep, don't have to live there.
Praise
Amen.
God. So vacate that area of foolishness, the tumbleweeds are going to come down the street of that
right
Blabbermouthville, you know,
yeah.
Just,
yeah.
It's going to be a place that nobody occupies, and I'm not going to be there anymore. Coyotes run down Stupid Boulevard and, you know, Speedy Mouthville doesn't have anybody living there. I'm not living there anymore. You remember the lady caught in adultery?
Yes.
They came and said, the law says to Jesus. They brought this lady to Jesus. The law says to stone her. What do you say? And you remember Jesus, He stooped down and started writing in the ground. People have some surmise what he was writing. We don't know. Could have been a lot of things. But anyway, one thing that he was doing, I believe, is he's doing what it says here in Proverbs 15:28. He was studying to answer. In other words, he was not going to say anything. And he made this statement in other places. I just say what I hear my father say.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So he was looking to the Father for what to say.
Yes. He was waiting.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir. That's good.
I said he was looking to the Father. He was dipping for wisdom. You know what I mean by dipping? I'm not talking about dipping snuff. I'm talking about dipping down in your spirit. It's like if you were the kind of person that had the Mach 2 mouth and the 20 mile an hour mind, your skill then has to be learning to dip into your spirit before you speak.
Before you speak.
Oh man, has my marriage ever gotten better by me dipping into my spirit before I speak?
Come on,
Pastor Debbie's not here to testify, but she could tell you all about it. But as I learn to wait and look to my spirit man, and which involves looking to the love of God, by the way, because the love of God shed abroad in my heart, and then I say the right thing at the right time.
Right.
And the rest of the evening is wonderful. All the husbands said, amen. Jesus, in that passage where they came and brought that woman to Jesus, and they thought she should be stoned. The Bible says that they wanted to stone her, and Jesus rose up after studying to answer. He rose up and said, "He's without sin. Let him cast the first stone." If I'd have been standing, I'd have been going, "Yeah." You know what's interesting? They didn't bring the guy. They just brought the lady.
Seriously.
It must have been Bubba, one of their friends, or some, you know.
Might have been there.
Somebody was at the house,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Somehow they knew this had happened. Anyway, but he said, "He's without sin. Let him cast the first stone." What did that do? It made them shrink away because they're all thinking, I know about me. I can't throw a stone. But that was the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. And you know what it did? It shut down that strife. Shut it down. If that would do that for that woman, what would listening on the inside of your spirit do in your marriage?
Come on. Shut down strife.
Yeah, it would shut down whatever's stoning your relationship. Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Now, go to 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7. I'm preaching by faith this morning because a lot of you looking at me like, "We got this all together, Pastor. We just doing awesome in our marriages." I'll take all the help I can get. If you don't want yours this morning, hand it back to me before you leave, because I take all the help I can get. Look at 1 Peter 3:7. "Likewise, ye husbands," he had been talking to the wives in the first six verses, but we don't have time to get into all this. I just wanted to point this one thing out. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them," the wives, "according to what?"
Knowledge.
"According to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel." It doesn't mean weaker spiritually or emotionally or mentally or anything.
Yeah.
It's just that it's commonly known that most women physically are not as strong as men.
Right.
At least from the hips up. you come home and the furniture's all rearranged in the living room and you go, "Honey, who did this?" "I did."
"Yep, sure did."
"You moved it?"
"Yep."
"How'd you get that heavy couch over there?" "Hips, baby, hips." Man, just hips. All right. We digress. I got to keep it fun. Some of you aren't going to stay engaged if I don't keep it fun. So we'll keep it fun. as under the weaker vessel,
yes,
and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Ooh, this is a big issue if it can hinder your prayers. How we honor one another is a big issue, especially in our marriages. Now, notice we're heirs together. Every child of God is an heir. Remember, we're heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. But what he's saying here is it takes some real Bible knowledge to be an heir together.
Together.
What that together means is unity.
Yes.
It takes some real Bible knowledge to walk in unity with our spouses.
So
in other words, it's not going to happen automatic. It's going to have to be something we learn from the scriptures of how to do. You know, people, and I'm not condemning anybody. Thank God for the blood of Jesus, right? But people go to the divorce court and say we're incompatible. Well, two believers walking in the light of the word, that would never happen.
That's true.
There's no such thing.
No such thing. Mm-mm.
Well, it's awfully quiet in this Presbyterian church, but
it's good.
It's good truth.
Yes, it is.
Now, it takes two to walk in love. We know that.
Right.
One person can walk in love and the other choose not to. And so for that reason, we don't judge people. Because
no,
we weren't there. We don't know.
We don't.
Besides, that's not our business, but it's just something we can look at and examine ourselves about. But the thing I want you to see here is there's, you know, you and I, let's put it this way. Us and our spouses, any of us and our spouses, we're not going to live forever, for the rest of our lives, I mean. We're not going to live on love. Now, when I say love, I'm not talking about the divine kind of love. We'll live on that.
Yes.
But I mean on the feelings of being in love.
Yes, come on with
right.
it. Come on.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. We're going to live on knowledge.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Yep.
That's so good.
Yep.
We're going to live on knowledge. What do I mean we're going to live on knowledge? He said, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge.
Yep.
This is how you're going to continue to dwell with her.
Yes.
He's talking about an ongoing successful marriage, and it's going to take knowledge. We can't live just on love, meaning the feeling of being in love.
No, we cannot.
There's going to come a time where we have to act on what we know from the Word, even when the feelings aren't there, and when they're not there and we act on knowledge, it produces the right feelings. Now, Bible instructions are here to produce unity.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And when we do our marriage, Pastor Debbie and I do marriage conferences, this is our main scripture, 1 Peter 3:7.
Yeah.
We're heirs together. We call it heirs together.
Yes.
And the big reason for that is the togetherness there, the unity there.
Yes,
that's the key in marriage, is walking in Bible knowledge that produces unity. And a bulk of that knowledge is the divine, walking in the divine kind of love.
Amen.
Yes.
Which is not human love.
No, it's not.
Right.
The divine, human love will turn to hate overnight.
Yeah. Right.
And human love is of the mind or the emotions or the feelings.
Right.
There are marriages that are based on and begin by, what would you call it, physical love, attraction towards one another.
Right.
Physically, there are some that are based on, you know, we would call it, there's different words in the New Testament translated love.
Yes.
There's agape, which is the God kind of love.
Right.
And then there's the, I can't even pronounce it, but it's like the emotional love. There's phileo, I think that's brotherly love. There's another one that's more like infatuation kind of thing.
Right.
That, and some marriages are based on that. And thank God for some of those things. Those things need to be in place, right? We're three-part beings. We're not just spirit beings. We're spirit, we're soul, we're body. We're spirit, have a soul, and live in a body. Yet right on the other hand, if we could get a little knowledge about all three of those, we would, from the Bible, we could even do better.
Yes, amen, amen.
Now, spiritual, let's put it this way, divine love is of the Spirit. I believe it's suche, if I'm pronouncing it right. Love is a New Testament word for love. It's love is an emotional attachment kind of thing. Is of the soul. And, you know, sex is of the body.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
right?
Yes. Right.
We could get Bible knowledge about all of those, and it would greatly help our marriages.
Right.
Yet, right on the other hand, the most important one's the divine kind of love.
Mm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes.
And there's help in the Bible to walk in the divine kind of love.
Yes.
There's Bible instructions that produce that kind of unity. And unity is the strength of your relationship. The devil's always a divider. God's always wanting to bring people together, even in marriage, bring them together. But the devil is always wanting to divide Christians, divide them between husband and wife, you know, family or sons and daughters from parents. He's always a divider, dividing this color of skin from that color of skin, all sorts of, you know, he's just looking for ways to divide people. God's not in division.
No, he's not.
He's in unity.
Yes.
Unity.
Yes.
Unity. Say out loud, unity. And then marriage, that's going to be the success to your marriage. So people are looking for, the Bible says the anointing destroys the yoke. People are looking for the anointing, and that's good, but, you know, to break off things off of their lives that have been binding their marriages or whatever, binding their lives in different areas. But a lot of times they're looking for it in the wrong places. I could stand here and give you maybe seven or eight verses right now. I don't have them all written in front of me, but that talks about the Word of God being anointed. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Powerful, powerful. It's got power in it.
Yes.
Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God. The power is in the Word.
It's right. In the Word.
There's anointed Word to give you success in marriage.
Amen.
And you'll find that anointing on that Word, as well as every other area of life, right? So when you find that Word, you find that love walk Word especially, and you practice it, you'll find success in marriage.
Amen. Amen.
And you'll develop the art of living well.
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Now, for time's sake, let's address this one thing, and then we're going to start looking in the book of Genesis here. My goodness, we're running out of time so quickly. But for time's sake, whenever ministers minister on marriage, a lot of times they will, and there's nothing wrong with this, they will talk about his needs and her needs.
Right.
And we understand that male and female are a little different. We need to understand one another.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
It's not, you know, I've heard people say, I just don't understand women. Well, I said, you need to renew your mind about that. Proverbs 31, the Proverbs 31 woman, it talks about her being someone that he knows what she's going to do.
Yes.
You can read that in that Proverbs 31. One of the things that says there, her husband knows and he safely trusts in her.
Yes.
Don't say, I just don't understand my wife.
Right.
Say, I got an unction and he helps me and teaches me. I'm still finding out things about Pastor Debbie.
Yeah.
I get surprised sometimes.
Yeah.
I thought what I said and what I was going to do and so forth, she'd really appreciate it. She didn't like it at all. I'm like, well, praise the Lord. Find out something else today. I'm learning. I'm listening to the Holy Ghost. I'm learning here. Amen. So, but his needs, her needs, yes, there are his needs and her needs. But if you understand marriage, you understand, first of all, in the eyes of God, it should be this way in all mankind's eyes, especially believers, it is a covenant. Marriage is a covenant.
Yes. Yes.
I feel like I'm not making hardly any progress today because I got a lot of things to share. 47 pages of it. That's a lot of stuff. But the point I'm making is covenant, when we say, when it's stated, his needs, her needs, that we understand that, and to be honest with you, I don't think it's wrong to necessarily preach about his needs, her needs.
Right.
That's fine. I understand what they're saying. However, if we need to, let's do it with the understanding of covenant, which means it's not just his needs or her needs.
Yes.
It's we are now one.
Right.
The two have become one.
Yes. That's right. It's our needs.
Yeah. Right?
This
yes.
is good.
And because we are one,
yes, sir,
and marriage is a covenant, then whatever she needs, I need.
There it is.
Yeah.
Whatever
it
I need, is. She needs.
That's
right. Good.
There it is.
Yeah.
Because in covenant, are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
Her enemies become my enemies.
Yeah.
Her battles become my battles.
Right.
Her needs become my needs.
Yes.
Her body becomes my body.
Sure.
That's the scriptures. Her assets, her love, her strength,
right.
her faith, and on, they become mine.
Absolutely.
And likewise, all that I have
yeah.
is hers.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
That's why whenever people get married, they should not have separate checking accounts.
Oh, come on with it. Come on with it.
Come on.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Sure.
You can sit on the front row for the rest of your days, all right? You can sit right here. Hallelujah. His money, her money. Well, he made the paycheck and he puts it in his account. She made the paycheck. She puts it in her account. Why? You're one. Huh? Well, anyway, I'll get off of that because I can feel it. I can feel it in the room. That spouse, whether it's husband or wife, is your other self.
Thank you.
It's as much, she's as much, or he, whichever, are as much you as you are.
That's right.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. When we came into a covenant with God through the blood of Jesus, the Bible says he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So there's really not my needs. Whatever are my needs are his needs.
Yes.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
Whatever he needs, I need.
That's
yes.
right. Glory
yeah.
to God.
If he needs something done in the earth, I need it done
I
in the earth.
I need it done. That's right.
Right, because we're together
we're
in this.
One.
We're laborers together.
Right.
God, the Lord and us are laborers together.
Together.
Oh, I feel like I'm just getting started with this.
Right,
we are one.
Yeah, we're
yes.
one. Come on.
Everything he has became ours.
Yeah. Come on.
We're heirs of God and joint heirs. Everything he has is ours. When he was raised from the dead, we were raised from the dead. When he was made, the Bible said he was justified in spirit. There's a lot of folks who don't understand that. But he became sin for us. That means he became lost for us. But he was also justified when he was raised from the dead. And when he was justified, we were justified. When he was raised, we were raised. When he was seated, we were seated. He brought us into everything that he gained in his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yeah. Come on, come on.
When we got born again, we came into it.
Yes, we did. Yeah. Oh, glory to God.
And guess what? When you and your spouse got married, all that they have, you came into it.
That's
all
right.
that they have, or you, they have, you came into
That's
it.
Right.
Everybody say, we're one. That's what a covenant really is.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, it's no longer just about you.
Yes.
Yep.
Your needs. It's about meeting the needs of your spouse.
Good. You're helping.
And that even includes what I say. How's this going to affect them?
There it is. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
My other self.
Yes.
My other self. I like that.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That doesn't even sound natural, Pastor. It's not. It's supernatural.
Supernatural.
And it's going to take supernatural
yes,
love,
yeah.
a supernatural yeah. kind of divine love beyond yes. human love to walk in success in marriage. And have the and live in the art of living well in marriage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Divine love gives.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of relationships start out with this. Now, if relationships start out this way, they can change. You realize, but you have to get an idea of the divine kind of love. The divine kind of love is not, because this is the way a lot of relationships start out. I love you. I want you. I love you, I need you. You make me feel so good. You make me feel so special. Well, I believe a good, healthy marriage will minister to one another in that area. However, that being your focus going into marriage, you're setting yourself up to fail because it's all about what they do for me.
Yeah. Okay.
Come on.
I love you, I need you. Give me that loving feeling. That used to be a song when I was growing up. That loving feeling. Well, what about if that's not there?
Come on.
They're not your source.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
What if it's just not there, and they're just not there, whatever, emotionally at the time to meet that need?
Right.
Well, we just don't love each other, one another. Honey, you didn't know what love was to begin with. Real true love is not, I love you, I need you, I love you, I want you, I love you, you make me feel so good. You hear the me in that?
Yeah.
It's all about me. Real true love is not about me. Your true love is give.
Come on.
For God so loved the world that he had a wonderful, warm feeling about us.
No, sir.
That's not the divine kind of love. The divine kind of love is not a feeling.
Yeah, come on.
For God so loved the world that he what?
Gave.
And when we love one another, our focus is on giving. Yes, we know they have needs, but we're there to meet that need.
Yes.
I'm not here to get my needs met.
Come on.
Although that's her responsibility.
Right.
Yet if she fails at that, I'm not here to point it out.
All right now. Come on.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, Pastor, you going across the line now. I'm just sticking with the Bible.
It's real.
I think it's humorous sometimes. People will come in, they need marriage counseling. Okay, let's talk about what's going on. And so, well, she does this, or he's talking, you know, she does this, you know, and doesn't do that, and so forth and so on. And I said, well, let's get out of Ephesians chapter number 5, and it says, husbands, love your wives, and then wives, submit to your husbands.
Yep.
I said, which, okay, I'll talk to the husband. I'll say, because the wife will say, he just doesn't love me the way he's supposed to love me. I said, okay, get out of Ephesians 5. It says, husbands, love your wives.
Yep, husbands.
And she said, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. He doesn't love me the way he's supposed to. I said, look at it again.
Yep.
Husbands, love your wives.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I said, who's that talking to?
Go ahead. Come on.
That's not talking to you, honey.
Nope, yeah. Not at all. Come on. Our verse is up here.
She said, it said at the beginning of the verse who he was talking to. Husbands?
Yes.
In other words, that's his verse.
His verse.
Right.
Yeah.
In other words, you wives, stay out of that verse.
Thank you.
Yeah. Come on.
Thank you. We have
all.
Now, maybe in prayer to God, you can take it to him.
Yes.
But not to your husband.
Not to your husband.
What?
Go ahead.
Come on now. It's true.
We'll see how many people are back next Sunday. You know, just.
That's what the verse is.
That's his verse. That's his verse to meditate on, feed on, learn to do that, be like Christ.
Yeah.
And then it says, you know, because the wife will say, or the husband will say, she's just not submitting to me and so forth and so on. I say, well, let's go down there. Wives, submit yourselves. Does it say, Mr. Husband, does it say you're to make your wife submit to you?
Nope.
You're to
not
make your wife do right?
No,
that verse isn't your verse. Stay out of that verse.
Yeah.
It started with wives. He's talking to the wives. He's not talking to husbands.
Right.
Don't
right.
use that word, that verse, as a weapon against your wife.
Come on with it.
Yeah. You use that verse on your the wife. Use that verse on
for
yourself.
To grow. That's right.
Yeah.
So good.
See, can you see where selfishness and people's focus is on their needs? I find a lot of people that are focused on their needs and selfish, I find they're the most depressed people on the earth. Because they're focused on what they want, what they need.
Yes.
And there's a lot of it that doesn't get met through human beings.
Right. That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jesus. We're just out to see what the word says. Say it out loud. His needs, her needs. But they're really not. See, marriage is no longer just about me and mine. It's our and us. It's us. Right?
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen. Come on.
Come on.
Preaching
good. That's good.
Come on, somebody.
Come on,
really, it's just no longer me and mine. It's ours and us.
Yes.
They are your other self.
Yes.
And the divine kind of supernatural love will make that work. Praise the Lord. Wow, I am all the way almost to the end, and I haven't even got to the main subject yet. But let's just introduce it. Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis 2, we're going to look at a couple of verses here. We'll just wrap this up. Oh, Lord Jesus. We might have come into this service thinking, I don't know, he's going to preach on marriage. I don't know, you know. But the more we dig into it, how many of you, I know this is happening with me, so I'm not putting this off on you. But with me, the more I dig into this, it's like, I needed this.
Yes.
I needed this. Pastor Jay needed this. The word is helping us all, right? But in Genesis 2, we'll start in verse 18, then we'll read verses 21 through 25. The Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. Suitable help. In verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had made from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they two, or they shall be one flesh. Although they were two separate individuals, they were one flesh. They were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I thought I was going to get into this, but I'm just out of time. Basically, in this passage of Scripture, which we'll get into somewhere, whether it's here or Kansas City or Cedar Rapids, we'll just have to see. But we're going to talk about four major principles of marriage that we find here. And each one of them is going to take, I don't know, part of a service at least.
Right, right.
So we can't get into them all now, but I will give you a couple of them. I'll give you the main names of them and kind of give you some of the things, where we get it. But number one, it's the law of priority. The law of priority. Now, what do I mean by priority? That it says here, a man shall leave his mother, and of course the wife too. Man will leave his mother and his father and his mother, and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Right. Notice leaving mother and father, meaning up until that time, that man, the young man, or that young woman, of course, right. both of them are implied, were under the authority of their parents. Their parents' voice was the greatest voice of authority in their life.
Yeah, that's right.
They were submitted to their parents, and now there's a changing of that.
Right.
In other words, the parents' voice is no longer priority. The spouse's voice and unity with their spouse is now priority.
Priority. Amen.
Y'all got that?
Yes, sir.
So there's a law of priority that has to be understood in marriage. Now, as we go through, we're going to make just mention of them. We're not going to get into any of them very deeply because of time. But all four of these that we're going to go through, they each reveal a practical way that divine love is expressed in marriage. Did you get that?
Yeah.
It's expressed to one another in marriage in each of these ways. Divine love makes my spouse my new priority.
Yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's no longer my parents. Now, that doesn't mean we don't honor our parents. The Bible says to honor our parents, right? But we're not talking about honor here. We're talking about priority.
Yes, yes.
Priority. And now, and we see this messing up lives because people don't understand this. There's not a leaving, so to speak, when they get married. The mama, maybe, or the daddy want to still have a voice into their decisions.
Yeah.
And that's wrong of parents to do that. Now, they're on their own. Now, if son or daughter, their child comes and wants some advice, fine. But really, there should be a lot of you and your spouse are going to have to work that out.
There it is. Yep.
Right? And it's wrong for parents to always be trying to interject into the decision-making of that new young couple.
That's true.
Right.
That's true. That's
Right.
Because that's not your place anymore.
No, it's not.
Now, the priority is them working it out, them establishing that new home and learning to work together without the input of their parents. Now, I'm not saying if parents aren't asked, the parents can't give some practical wisdom or advice, but really, there's a whole lot of, well, you know, here's some things in the Word, and we learned it to make it work this way, but y'all need to work that out.
Yep. That's true.
Y'all need to work that out.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. Amen.
Awfully quiet, and that can really mess up some homes if parents don't let them leave, so to speak, in that sense. Does that make any sense? And so before, the most important relationship with another person, at least, was mom or dad. Now the new obligation goes to the spouse.
Right?
The new attention goes to the spouse, the new obedience goes to the spouse. And what mom and dad say, doesn't have as much of a voice.
Right.
Now, that can be tough because parents can see them make mistakes because they're young.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But right on the other hand, unless they come and ask. Now, here's something that little new wife or little new husband needs to stop doing. Going to mom or dad and talking to them about her or him.
Seriously, don't do that.
Well, he's just not, because you know what, you know, like a little young lady, she gets married and wants to go to her mommy or her daddy and talk about what he's not doing this or he's not. Do you know whose side mommy and daddy's going to take? Hers. And do you know what's wrong about that? Because it's not about her or him, it's about them.
Them, yes. Right.
You don't take sides anymore.
That's right.
It's about, I'm on your side of the marriage.
That's
I'm not on your side, girl, or your side, boy.
Right, yeah. Right.
I'm on the side of the marriage. The covenant.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Well, we're just out of time. We need to spend a lot more time on this, but let's just apply it to young married men. They used to spend their Friday nights out every night with, you know, every Friday night maybe with the boys doing something fun, running around with the boys, and she was running around with the girls. Guess what? You're not going to be doing anymore, honey, on Friday nights. Your spouse is your priority. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong now forever to go out with your friends, your girlfriends, ladies, or your guy friends. That's not. I'm not saying it's wrong, but that's not your priority anymore. Now it's a new priority. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. He can't be a mama's boy anymore. Praise God. I think maybe we ought to quit because there's not too much get feedback anymore. I think we're kind of reached the end of our ability to take it in. Praise the Lord. You wanna just hear the other laws? We don't have time to get into them, but the law of pursuit. You can't stop pursuing them. Once you got the ring, you got to keep pursuing them. So that's another law. Then the law of possession. We talked to a degree about that, about the law of possession. It's not his stuff, her stuff anymore. It's our stuff. And it's not he makes all the decisions, she makes all the decisions. No, it's we make the decisions.
Yes.
Now, the husband might have the responsibility, and I believe does, to go to God and see what the Holy Ghost is saying about the decisions that affect the marriage.
Right.
Yet, right on the other hand, he's not going to do that, walk in the light of that, without, I just swallowed my spit. without bringing the wife into that.
Yeah.
Hello?
Right.
And say, honey, here's what I'm getting in my heart.
Yes.
Does this seem to bear witness with you?
Yes, come on.
Well, I'm the head of the house, and I just make the decision. Well, you're wrong about a couple things.
Come on.
You're the head of the marriage. Bible never said you're the head of the house.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Bible actually said she's the head of the house.
Yeah.
Pastor Jay. Yeah, it's in your Bible.
It's in the Bible.
Yes.
You're the head of the marriage.
Yes.
Can you see we need a lot more time?
Yes.
But 1 Timothy says she's to guide the house.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she does.
If you look up the word guide, it means despot.
Mm-hmm.
She in charge.
She in charge.
You know what the rule is at our house? Inside the house, you got to say. Outside the house, I got to say.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the marriage. I'm talking about decorating and all of that.
Yes.
Well, there's a lot of strange looks coming back at me. Thank you, Jesus. But there should be a lot of agreement, especially about the important decisions of the marriage. It's not just, well, this is the way the Lord led me. Okay, but we're one. Let's talk this through, get in agreement. Agreement is huge.
Yes.
Huge, huge, huge. I have done things because I said, this is what God said. And my wife said, I don't have that in my heart. But whatever you say, I'll follow your lead. Every time I just do my thing without getting her agreement, I flunked royally.
Come on.
But if her and I got an agreement, we've never failed. It succeeded every single time.
Yes.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
You know that story about, I'm trying to quit. It's them pulling so hard.
You don't have to.
They have such needs in their marriage. No, I'm just kidding.
just kidding.
I love their example. They do a great job. But you ever notice when God came, that angel, actually it was an angel, came and talked to Abraham about some things, and especially about having a son? Before he said it, because Sarah was in the tent, And Abraham's outside talking to the angel. Before he said it, notice something the angel said. Where is Sarah? In other words, what I'm getting ready to talk to you about, Sarah needs to be in unity with this. She needs to hear this. And she needs, you and her need to be one in faith. This is not your faith project, Abraham. It's you and Sarah's faith project. In other words, unity.
Unity.
It wasn't Abraham dragging Sarah around in faith saying, this is what God said. Abraham and Sarah talked it over, believed they were both hearing the same thing. They were in unity about it, and they were believing God together.
Yes.
We have record of it in the New Testament about Sarah's faith and Abraham's faith, both of them. Hallelujah. And we don't have time to get into that. Did you get anything out of the word this morning?
Yes. A lot.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. The spirit can only receive what the seat can endure. You ever read that verse? No, it's not in the Bible, but it is true. It is something we can't keep going forever. People, they can only take in so much, and that's the way I am too. We can only take in so much at a time, right? So I said, let's stand to our feet, and I'll just go over these laws. Number one, what was the first one?
Priority.
Number two, what was the second one?
Pursuit.
What was the third? Did we even say the third one? Possessions. In other words, this is our stuff and our lives, not my life and her stuff and my life and, you know, whatever. And the fourth one is the law of purity.
Purity.
And we get that out of that scripture that says they're both naked and we're not ashamed. In other words, there was no impurity about their nakedness. So we got to talk about that. And when we get to that one, there'll be a big crowd. People love hearing about sex. But it's a holy thing in the marriage bed, right? It's a right thing.
It
needs to be right, and it needs to be regular. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the word. Say it out loud. Thank God for the word.
Thank God for the word.
I almost feel like I'm doing you an injustice. I hardly didn't get into much of this, but we're going to get more and more into it and really grow and look and examine ourselves. I'm not here to examine you. We're not here to examine our spouses. We're here to examine ourselves. Check up on ourselves. And if there's any area we can see we need improvement, let's make the adjustments and develop the art of living well.
Hallelujah.
I love when people come into our home there in Cedar Rapids. They come into our home and say, it's so peaceful here. And they're not just talking about the outward, you know, because it's a kind of a wooded area. They're talking about the atmosphere in the home. You ever walked into a place and you could tell, oh, it's tense in here? In other words, words were spoken before I got here. You ever walked into a place like that? See, words create atmospheres. And we need our homes to be, especially, you know, for our children's sake, we need our homes to be places that are peaceful, safe, where there's unity, the blessing of the Lord from the top to the bottom all over that house, so that our children can be raised in an atmosphere where they're coming out of that rather than an atmosphere of tension and strife, where they're twisted on the inside and afraid emotionally. And, you know, can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And God wants that for our home. So let's grow and let's keep on reaching forward. If there's areas we can see we need to grow, let's grow. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not focused on you. I'm focused on me. Same way in our marriages. Let's pray. Lord, thank you today for your word. And we thank you for every one of us here today. Thank you for those who are married, those who are maybe considering marriage, who want to be married. Thank you for answers today. And we'll give you praise, Father, for even if it's necessary, divine rescues today. We thank you today for adjustments that bring unity, further unity into our homes. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of hearing your word. It so helps us. It so instructs us. It so helps us think right. And it so, even if necessary, corrects us. And we receive it in all, whatever form it comes, we receive your wisdom in every way. We give you all the praise today for success. We agree with every married person here, every person that desires to be married, for complete success in this area of their life, where they thrive in their homes. We'll give you all the praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. If you're here and you agree, say amen. Praise God.